This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
I guess that strength is something we all feel we need and often don't have as much of it as we'd like to have at certain times anyway. You know, I often think about the guy in the Bible, Paul said, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. Wouldn't that be nifty? It'd be really neat to feel like not only are you a conqueror, but more than conqueror. Oh boy, I've often thought I'd really love to do that, you know. But, you know, when you dig right into it and you get finding out what things are all about, there really is not any reason that we should be defeated by anything. Now you say it's easy for me to sit here in this chair and say that to you, and you're right. But you know, the truth of the matter is that it really is so. And so you say, well, all right, how do you know that? Well, go back a little bit again. You remember it says we're made in the image and likeness of God? You want to know what God looks like? Go look in the mirror. That's a revolting development, isn't it? I guess maybe it's not that we don't really look like that, because there isn't anything about it to look like. But when you begin to realize that you are made not only in the image and likeness, well, the likeness, we are the same as, see, this is the crux of the whole thing. Then can you imagine that God not having enough strength to overcome whatever needs to be overcome, or to change things, or to make them right? A fella told me one time, and I used it a lot, another thing out there, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now what you have to do is you say that to yourself enough until you believe it. So you can say, let the weak say, I am strong, and that's like whistling past the graveyard. You know it's not really true, but if you remind yourself of it and you get the idea of why you're saying that, and that there is within you all that inner strength that can come forth, then as you say, let the weak say, I am strong, you say it enough, you begin to believe it. And as you begin to believe it, it happens. Strength really comes to meet whatever you need to do. And you can be not just barely getting by, but you can be more than a conqueror. One time I was making one of my famous speeches to to quite a large audience of several thousand. And I was giving them the old Socko positive thinking stuff, you know. Positive thinking and positive faith and affirmation and believing it and all that stuff, and that they could overcome anything. Well, I was so good, I just went on for about 40 minutes, you know. And I kept telling, you know, if you're weak and defeated and negative, I said, you can do something about that. And I gave them the steps of how to do that and some examples of how that has worked. And I really thought it came off pretty good. Then, when it was over, and some people coming around telling me how wonderful I was, this one guy came up and said, well, Dr. Fred, I've wanted to meet you for a long time, and I'm really happy to meet you, because I'll tell you what about me. I'm just what you were talking about there. I'm weak and defeated and negative, and how do I overcome that? I said, hey, weren't you in the meeting? And he said, yeah. And I said, look, I just told you that. For 40 minutes I've been talking about how to do that. He said a very strange thing to me, I thought. He said, yeah, but you were telling everybody. I want you to tell me. You know? So we were walking along by this time. We were out in the parking lot, and we were standing by his car, by my car. And so I told him again the basic ideas. And then I wrote down on the back of my business card, let the weak say, I am strong. I said, here's your prescription. And I want you to say this first thing in the morning, the very first thing before your brain starts thinking all this weird stuff and telling you that you're not good and right and all that stuff. And I want you to do it again at night. I want you to go to sleep saying that over and over to yourself, because then it'll soak into your subconscious. Oh, he just really seemed neat. And I said, I want you to call me in 2 weeks and tell me how you're doing. Well, he called me in 2 weeks, and he said, a miracle's happened to me. Everything has turned around. Everything is going great. He said, I can hardly believe it. And I said, hey, don't say that. Don't say you can't believe it. Believe it. It's happening, and that's the way it's supposed to happen. Hang in there. Keep doing that. It'll change everything about you, so it'll change everything about your life. Well, I haven't heard from him anymore, but I'm assuming if he's doing it correctly, it's working for him. There is such a thing that we have sometimes called the authority of the believer. And I've mentioned to you before where it says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. But we don't decree. We don't think we have the right. We've been told that we're evil and weak and sinful and nasty and poor weak worms of the dust so long that we have forgotten the authority that lives within us. So we kind of pussyfoot around, see. We think that God is up there keeping notes, watching. Oh, I caught you at that, boy. We think we're not worthy, see. So we pussyfoot and we creep around and say, oh, I'm not worthy, but could you please? And we don't believe that stuff. And so it really doesn't happen. Ernest Holmes said one time, we should make our demands on the universe. I tried every way in the world to kind of get around that until I realized, no, the man knew what he was saying, and he was saying it correctly. Make our demand upon the universe. Say, well, you can't make a demand on God. Well, you can't if you think God is Big Daddy in the sky. But if you believe that you are part of the universe and part of the whole process and everything that goes on, then you do have a right to make a demand on the universe. If you're doing the good stuff in your own head about that, you see. Sometimes people say to me, well, all right, who do you pray to? Now, who said we had to pray to somebody? See, that's where we get off the track. Who do you pray to? I don't pray to anybody. What you do is you speak your word of authority into the creative law. When you speak, when you think and speak your word, you speak it authoritatively because you have a right to. And you speak it into a law, almost as though it were God speaking. See? Now, that may be a wild thought for some, but obviously that's closer to the truth than anything we've known yet, and it's a step forward, and the best part of it does is that it does work. So, if you can, you know, screw yourself up to that point, then try it. You might just happen to like it. Eddie Rickenbacker, some of you may remember him. He was a great hero, you know. He was a war ace, and he was a daredevil flyer and all that stuff. And he had a lot of scrapes with death, close encounters with death, and always survived. But when he was, later on in his career, when he was president of Eastern Airlines, I think it was, he was involved in an air crash near Atlanta, and he was not expected to live. And he was lying there in the hospital in very, very bad shape, very low. And this was quite a few years ago, and I guess the nurse or somebody had turned the radio on, and the news was on. Walter Winchell was on. And he ended his news by saying, pray for Eddie Rickenbacker, America, because he's dying in an Atlanta hospital. Well, old Eddie didn't like that. Said, no way, man, I hate that. He said, that made me really mad. He said, I don't have to die, do I? There wasn't anybody there to answer, but he said, something responded inside and said, oh, you don't have to die if you don't want to. And he got so mad, he picked up the water jug and threw it at the radio, knocked it on the floor, and declared his health and his recovery with the authority that he felt at that moment, and you know what? He got better. He began getting well from that point on. See, you don't have to go around thinking how sick and weak and poor and defeated you are. You don't have to go around thinking that. And even worse than that, maybe, is we go around telling people how sick or weak or defeated or unhappy we are. Now, we have declared that into the law because it'll pick that up just as well as the good stuff, you know. And it's no wonder we're experiencing all that negative junk in our lives. We need to take charge. We need to decide how it is we want our life. And then declare that to be the way our life is from this point on. And then watch it begin to change. We speak it with the authority given us by the very nature of who and what we are, which is the nature of what we have called God, you see. That's big. That's good. That's powerful. minister was telling about visiting an old friend in the hospital. Now, this guy was a cowboy. I don't mean the rhinestone type, you know, or the drugstore cowboy we used to call him. I mean a real, honest-to-goodness cowboy from Montana. He's pretty old now, but he was in the hospital, and he was dying. So his minister came in to visit with him and said, tell me your greatest experience. So the old cowboy got talking along about how his greatest experiences, he thought, were when he would talk with God. And he said, I have never felt that God was far away up in the sky someplace, but I would talk with God as though he were riding in the saddle with me, something like that. And I'd be out riding under the stars all alone, just me and some cattle maybe. And he said, I found God everywhere. I found God in the misty waters, and I found him in the rippling winds across the prairie. I found him in the hard, cold blizzards of Montana. And I found God in the heat of the prairies. Everywhere I go, that is until I have felt like that. And those are great experiences for me. And he paused a moment and he said, I've learned a lot from Herefords, you know, Hereford cattle. Minister said, oh yeah, what'd you learn from Herefords? And he said, well, maybe you don't know this, but when a big winter storm comes on and the cattle are out there on the plains, most cattle will turn their tail to the wind and they'll drift along like this until they come to some kind of obstacle, and there they will stand with their head down and the wind blowing through their hair, and they have no protection. And they die. Now, he said, a Hereford won't do that. Big storm comes on, a Hereford, for some reason, turns his face to the wind. And he gathers together with others. And they keep moving toward the storm. And when they come to an obstacle, they stop. But the wind is blowing the hair down instead of blowing it up, you know. And they gather warmth from each other. And he said, they will survive a storm where every other kind of cow will die. And he said, I learned out of that you don't have to panic. You know, when a storm blows on your life, don't panic, don't run, because it'll catch up with you and kill you. You know? He said, stand, face in that direction, affirm that you're aware of a strength and a wisdom and a guidance right now helping you to come through and be more than conquerors. He said, there isn't any problem can defeat you if you can do that. And I've found that out already. Let the weak be strong. See, that's what he was really saying. Say it until you believe it. Then, by the power of God within, you can face any situation that comes along, and you can handle it, and there will always be more strength there than you might ever need. Always more than you need. See, your body or your situation or condition or whatever should not control you. You should be in control of those, and you can be. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale tells a story that he said something I wish I'd said. It's so neat. He was in a cab with two other guys, got in there, two other men, and so he's always going to be pleasant, you know. He said to the cabbie, well, nice day, isn't it? And all he got in reply was a grunt. So he waited a little while, and he thought, I'd try it again. He said, I hope you're feeling well and that you're having a nice day. And the cabbie said, I couldn't feel worse. And he went ahead describing all of his aches and pains. See, all that stuff. Well, he'd heard these other guys call Mr. Peale. He'd call him Dr. Peale. So he thought he was an MD. Peale said, well, now, just to dispel any mistake here, I'm not an MD. But he said, I think I can diagnose well enough to know that you have psychosclerosis. The cabbie said, what is that? And he said, well, you know, arteriosclerosis, a hardening of the arteries. Psychosclerosis is a hardening of your thoughts and your attitudes. Now, the guy said, well, what do I do? He said, well, have you been to a doctor? And the doctor said, yeah, they can't do anything for me. He said, all right, then here's your cure. Get your mind filled with the dynamic health of life, the health of this universe, the health of God. Fill your mind with that. It will soften and begin to eliminate those old hard thoughts and those old negative attitudes, and they'll begin to flush away. You'll fill your awareness with that, with thoughts of perfection and of God, and that'll make everything well, and you'll find things are really turning around. The guy said, by darn, I'm going to do that. And he said, of course, I never heard from him again, but he sounded like he was really going to do it. Psychosclerosis, don't get stuck in that. Now everything here is very simple, isn't it? And you know it. But I'm not just making talk, you know. This really is so, and it does work. I would say if it works for me, it'll work for anybody, and I've seen it work in hundreds, in thousands of lives. And many are having too hard a time, too much of the time, and it was never meant to be that way. You don't have to have it that way. We do it to ourselves, so we, with that inner power and awareness, can get out of it. We talk so much about, and we feel that we're sick a lot, we have a lot of complaints, we're confused, unemployed, we don't have enough money, there's not enough love in our life, our life doesn't seem to be going anywhere, you know. All of that stuff is not necessary. You do not have to live that way. Take authority. Decree how your life shall be. You don't have to wait until you're good enough, whatever that is. You can start now. You see, that's the neat part of it. And there is all the strength that you will ever need and a little bit more. There's always some left over. Never are you left without whatever strength, wisdom, and guidance you need, because it is the nature of God in you as your nature, and it's always been there, and it always will be there. Let's have a little prayer about that. There is a spirit within a man, we're told, but we have neglected it so sorely, and we've tried so hard in our own human efforts and strength, and so often it doesn't really work. We get discouraged. Try so hard and it doesn't work. Isn't it beautiful to know? And let's know together now as we call up that awareness of that deeper thing, that power, that wisdom, that strength, that guidance, that creativity that is God in you as you right now. Feel that, sense it, give yourself to it, find that in that secret place and begin to let it happen to you, because you will find your strength there for whatever you may be facing today or in any day. Amen.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.